Welcome to the latest episode of Schnepps Connects. I'm diving right into the rich history of one of my favorite, Katz's Delicatessen. It's an iconic establishment that's been a cornerstone of New York City since its founding in 1888. Our guest is Jake Dell, and he's the fifth generation steward of this beloved Jewish delicatessen. Katz's has evolved to meet the demands of the contemporary world while remaining true to its authentic flavors and atmosphere. Katz's has expanded its on-site catering services across the five boroughs. It's extended its shipping services to international markets, and it's established a new location in Brooklyn as well. As a graduate of Tufts University and the NYU Stern School of Business, Jake has garnered recognition on both Zagat's and Forbes 30 Under 30 lists. And I'm really happy to have you here, Jake, to share how this business has survived so many years and been really iconic in New York City, man. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, it's a real pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
So I feel like, you know, I'm in a second generation business. I work with my mom. So fourth generation, you know, no matter what the business is, let alone the restaurant business, that's a difficult thing to stay in business that long. So congrats to you and your family.
Thanks. I will say family business, the greatest thing in the world, and it's the worst thing in the world, right?
I'm with you. Yeah, totally.
There's no in between that. You know, you go home and sometimes you take things home with you for better or for worse. And I truly deep down believe family businesses are some of the most important things in the world.
You know, you've obviously garnered tremendous publicity, movies, you know, you name it. A lot of people kind of find you synonymous with New York City in general, almost like a tourist mecca on top of everyday New Yorkers wanting to treat themselves. But give me the story of how it all got started.
Yeah, so we started in 1888, and the story of our beginnings are pretty much the story of delicatessen at its beginning, right? It's, you know, taking a piece of meat, it's preserving it, it's making it tasty, it's making it last, and feeding your family in the process, selling enough meat to be able to feed your family, to make some trades and things like that. Delicatessen on the Lower East Side was a trade. It was a, you know, it's a commodity. It's, there was hundreds of delis all over. And you know, ours was no different, nothing particularly special in that sense. And over time, as the next generation was still there and interested in preserving food, still selling to the next generation, we, you know, stood the test of time and just kind of kept going and kept expanding. And as other delis disappeared, we were there. That's kind of how we got to where we are today.
You know, I feel like a good delicatessen is part of Jewish culture. And I have to say, there's really fewer and fewer of them around. So, you know, for you guys to be there is such a big thing culturally, let alone, you know, just great food as well.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah. You know, I think it's culturally very New York, right? You know, there's obviously a lot of different things that make up the diaspora of Jewish food. A lot of different types of amazing foods from all over the world. But there's something uniquely New York about a Jewish delicatessen.
Yeah,
and, you know, truthfully, that's a food tradition that we preserve, right? And it's something that I take seriously, and it's an important part of my job, is that there's a little bit of teaching that happens as part of it, which is fun.
Yeah, for sure. Did you know that you wanted to get involved with the business? Like, did you get involved in the business right out of college, or did you question what you wanted to do?
Yeah, I thought I was going to be a doctor. The Jewish mother's dream. Yeah, no, I that's since I was 8 years old, that's all I wanted to do. That was really my focus. I took the MCATs, started the interview process, and I was doing a gap year between college and what would have been med school, but helping out, helping the business that, you know, gave me everything and my father and uncle out. And I fell in love with it. And I really did. Every aspect, every crazy fucking aspect, I fell in love with. And that was 15 years ago.
Wow. So how long did it take you to say you're not going to med school once you started working?
About 8 months, I would say. I remember very clearly. I sat down with my parents and I was like, I was nervous, you know? I'm like,
yeah, sure.
Okay. I got nervous for myself. Like, I'm admitting this to myself, but I'm also telling my parents. And so my mother's real, I mean, she's Brooklyn born through and through. She's firing off questions. Why do you think about this? What are you doing with that? Why that? What's your plan? And meanwhile, my father's just sitting there with a big grin on his face, smiling ear to ear, so happy. So, you know, and I think that sort of both of those were totally valid and true. Like, you know, it's exciting, but also how the fuck are you going to do this? Like, is this really what you want to do?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the restaurant business is a hard business. It is draining physically, emotionally. So, you know, is this really something you want to do? And it was.
That's good that it came from a good place, meaning you weren't forced into it. You didn't feel pressure. You made that decision on your own, which I think going into a family business is the best course to take if you can.
Yeah. And truthfully, I give so much credit to my father and uncle for being able to step back, right? Because I think another downfall that I've seen in a lot of family businesses is that transition. You know, I've been doing it for so many years my way. How am I going to let this kid come in?
Sure.
And fuck it all up. Or not even, maybe you trust them, but you're still nervous. You know, any number of reasons, I can see that it's going to be hard for myself in 30, 40, 50 years, whatever it is. So I give them a ton of credit for giving me the space to be able to try and test ideas that I had, make some mistakes, have some successes, you know, both. So eternally grateful there.
Yeah, so that's being like a true entrepreneur, allowing your next generation to think like an entrepreneur outside the box. Are there any other like lessons that your family kind of passed down from operating kind of the restaurant, or just, you know, other advice that was passed down?
Yeah, I think, I mean, and this is more specific, obviously, to the food world, but I think there's greater lessons in it too, where my grandfather always made a point of telling me, like, just focus on the food. You know, if you focus on making sure your product's good, the rest is going to fall on the plate. You'll figure it out. There'll be ups, there'll be downs, there'll be unexpected things, but just always focus on the food. And I think there is a greater lesson in that, which is like, you have to know why you have customers, right? And you have to ultimately make sure you're keep doing that with any sort of transition. You don't lose your eye on the ball, especially as a young guy starting. You're like, your sort of gut wants to change everything. And sometimes just saying no and doing nothing is the best course of action because that's what's best for the business. It's hard, but you know, sometimes like just focus on the food.
Yeah. Well, listen, I always love the pastrami sandwiches. I mean, pastrami on rye, that's my thing. You know, if I go to a delicatessen, it's not really much of a, I don't need a menu. That's kind of what I dive into. I know you guys are famous for it. I mean, is there any secrets to some of the dishes that you've been serving since day one?
Yeah, I think the secret is time. I think a lot of places cut corners because it's faster, cheaper, whatever it may be. Use cheaper cut of meat, use a quicker cure process, a quicker smoke process. Undercook it so you can use a slicer. We don't do any of that. I mean, we do 40,000 pounds of pastrami a week, and all of that is done the old-fashioned way. You know, it takes about a month from a raw piece of meat to something that's going in your mouth.
I mean, I'm getting hungry. I might have to like stop the interview and take a ride to Manhattan.
Well, that's the goal, clearly.
Yeah, sure. What about keeping multi-generations coming? You know, you got to figure taste change, you know, people's habits change, health habits, you know, kind of go up and down in terms of what's healthy, what's not. You know, how do you find that you're able to still attract really crowds to the restaurants?
Great question. I think a lot of what we focus on, like I said, with the food is it's not just food then, right? It becomes the tradition and the nostalgia also play a role. And I think focusing on that and giving that experience and not succumbing to some of the food trends actually works in our favor there, because it can be something that's, you know, you're experiencing what your father experienced or your friend from school or your grandmother or whoever it may be. You know, I think in some ways we've positioned ourselves to really focus on history in a meaningful way.
Yeah. You know, you talked about how you kind of fell in love with the job, you know, just going there during that break year. What do you love most about the job? Maybe a change, you know, obviously you've been there a while. What would you say is like the one thing that you really are passionate about when it comes to being in that deli?
People, no question. It's, you know, I'm lucky enough that this is what I get to do every day. And I get to, almost like a gatekeeper of stories, right? People want to tell me their cats' experiences. It's both incredibly interesting and humbling at the same time, because you realize that it's much bigger than, you know, I have a story, true. But it's no different than anyone else's story at the end of the day, right? Like I had my birth story, I grew up there, I ended up taking it. I live, breathe, work at Catholic. But at the end of the day, there's a lot of people that have really cool and fun and interesting stories. And this place is bigger than any one of them. And I love that.
What about putting your stamp on the business? Has there been anything that you feel that you've been able to really do that's kind of either changed the way that you guys do business or added to the business or thought about the business differently?
Yeah, I mean, I would say the majority of the changes were back-end changes that kind of brought us from, you know, the 1980s to a little more current. But the sort of simple things from the public's perspective would be, I guess, things that bring the experience closer to a customer, right? It gets harder and harder to get down the Lower East Side to come in for a sandwich. So we expanded shipping program, expanded our catering. We do on-site carving events. So all these sort of things that allow taxes to go to you without necessarily taking anything away from the store. You know, keep the store perfect or keep it exactly the way that it's always been because it's perfect in all of its imperfections.
So what's something that can be shipped? Like, you're not going to ship a hot dog with sauerkraut on it, but what would be like an example of things that you ship across the country, across the world?
I mean, I ship the mustard and the sauerkraut and the hot dog separate from each other.
Sense.
All of those products, I ship pastrami, corned beef, and matzo ball soups, latkes, everything. Pretty much everything we sell in the store. I've really spent a lot of time trying to perfect how we can, you know, maybe it's not going to be 100% quality-wise, but it's 90, 95%, and hopefully that's better than what you're getting wherever you are. So, you know, that's, I think it's been growing, and it was wonderful during the pandemic, but yeah, customers seem very happy with it so far.
So I talked about pastrami on rye. What do you recommend to people, whether it's your favorite or something that you try to get people to try that might not be, you know, the signature dish?
Yeah, I mean, the pastrami is great. I think any of the hot meats, you can't go wrong. Pastrami are so-called big four, I guess. The pastrami, the corned beef, the brisket, and the turkey. We have a wonderful all-white meat turkey. It's juicy. It's unbelievable. But I would say my favorite non-sandwich thing that we have got to be latkes. I think we make a killer latke. I tell people I aim for second best latke you've ever had. First being whichever relative to you of yours that you really like.
Right. You can't take away from the grandmother's latke, right?
I am not trying to compete with anyone above there, right? So I am more than happy to take second place there.
And you've benefited a lot from, I guess, celebrity fans and being in movies. What are some of the favorites of yours as far as celebrities that have walked through the doors over the years or the movies that you guys have been a part of?
You know, I'm not one to really get super starstruck, if we're being honest. So I usually just make everyone wait in line. I don't care who you are. But
good.
But there have been some fun ones over the years, some fun experiences, you know, sitting down with certain people who have interesting points of view of, you know, the acting world or politics or something like that, you know, like the president of Turkey or something like that. That's just the nerdy side of me. It's fascinated.
Well, you know what? I feel like they should wait online because that's part of the experience. Everybody knows that.
That could get yelled at a little bit. That's then it tastes better.
For sure. 100%. You get to meet some interesting people from all over the world.
Exactly.
So anything that you see as far as the future, what could you share about what you would ideally love for the future for Katz's?
I mean, I think running our own race is still very much what we're trying to do. Right now, people ask me a lot about opening in other places, other countries, other cities, whatever it may be. I don't feel confident we could do the food particularly well if we did that. So I'm not going to do it. If that ever changed, obviously my answer might change.
Yeah.
But for now, I think it's continuing to focus on shipping, catering, the focus on the service that you get in the store, and most importantly, making sure the food's good.
Well, that's important, Jake. And, you know, you got a long legacy. So I know sometimes I felt the pressure starting to work for my mom being, I don't want to be the one to screw it up.
That's right.
But, you know, you really are an institution. You know, it's great to meet you. And I just want to
Like
how big a fan I am of you and what your family have built.
Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate it. Next time you're in, you're going to come. Maybe I'll let you cut like two people online.
There you go. All right, done. I'll hold you up to it. All right. Well, thank you so much, Jake. Have a great day.
You too. Take care.
Thanks for tuning into the Schneps Connects podcast. Make sure to subscribe or stream us wherever you get your podcasts.